very cunning of our presenter to choose a tune that meant we repeated some lines of the shortest psalm just to extend it out a bit. I was nearly going to say we could sing it twice, but I'm glad that we sang that tune. Let's turn to God's word again. We're turning to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Verses 17 to 30. Here we have the gospel unhindered. The gospel unhindered. We come this evening to the end of the book of Acts. This is, of course, Luke's second volume. His first volume is the book of Luke. Both are written to a man named Theophilus. And Luke is writing concerning all that Jesus began to do and teach. And now in the book of Acts, Luke continues to detail the things that Jesus is doing, but this time through the apostles. As the church grows and the church spreads, Luke's message in Acts is the gospel is advancing. Jesus Christ is continuing to work, continuing to advance his kingdom. And the apostles and Christ's people are to be witnesses of Christ, even to the ends of all the earth. Acts is a wonderful account of how Jesus Christ is causing his church to grow, how the gospel is marching on and marching through cities and towns and nations, and how all different types of people are coming to faith. This explains why the book of Acts ends as it does. We could have lots of questions about the ending of this book. Does Paul stand before Caesar, who was Nero at the time? He's appealed to Caesar. We'd be interested to know, does he have a trial where he stands before this man? We could have questions like, does Paul get released from prison? Does he go on further mission trips? Does he suffer as a martyr in Rome? What happens after Paul gets to Rome and declares and testifies about Jesus Christ? Luke says he spent 2 years there at his own expense, and the gospel was proclaimed without hindrance. That's it. That's where Luke finishes. Luke doesn't give the answer to those questions, because that's not his purpose in writing. Luke isn't giving us a biography of Paul. He's not giving us a biography of any of the apostles. His objective isn't to exalt the servants of the gospel. No, Luke is writing concerning the work that Jesus is doing in extending his glorious kingdom. The book of Luke and Acts are about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what makes them books for us. That's what makes Acts a book for us. The continuation of the gospel. The good news being proclaimed with boldness. And we too are to be involved in evangelism. Acts calls on us to be involved in this work of the kingdom, to proclaim the good news with boldness. We're to speak about Jesus Christ. There's a glorious message that needs to be shared. There's a saving message that needs to be declared. The world needs to hear about Jesus. And as we went through Acts, we have seen that God in his sovereignty is with us as we go out into the world. And so we come to this last section of the book this evening, and we want to consider the gospel unhindered. The gospel let loose. The gospel without chains. We are to be Christ's witnesses to the ends of all the earth. And we need to know that the gospel will be let loose. Let's look at this closing section. We see, firstly, the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel. Paul, on arriving in Rome, is still in chains. He's chained to a soldier. But he has some freedom. He's free to have people to come and visit with him. So 3 days after arriving, he calls together the local leaders of the Jews. And he does this to let them know about his situation, and that any accusations that they may have heard from the Jews in Jerusalem are unfounded accusations. Paul's keen for these Jews to know that he's in chains because of the hope of Israel. You find that at the end of verse 20. These men say that they haven't heard anything from Jerusalem or Judea, and so they're happy to give Paul a hearing. One reason why they haven't heard anything from the Jews in Judea could be because when Paul left, remember, they were taking a risk sailing at that time of year. Most of the sailing had stopped. Merchants wouldn't be traveling because of the dangers out at sea. But Paul, those who were taking Paul were taking that risk. And so it was right at the end of the sailing season. So perhaps the Jews in Jerusalem hadn't sent off a letter in time. Nobody had maybe made that journey. Another reason could be that the Jews in Jerusalem were either aware that the charges against Paul haven't any weight to them, or they're now just not concerned because Paul is in chains and he's now in Rome. He's not there to bother them. Whatever the reason, what is clear is that Paul is making known to these Jews why he is here. And he says it's because of the hope of Israel. Well, what is the hope of Israel? The hope of Israel is the kingdom of the Messiah, the promised Savior, the one who would come to redeem his people. The hope of Israel is that covenant nation being ushered in, the covenant mercy of God being shown to his people to restore them. The hope of Israel is a message of life. It's a message of new life, of glory and of victory. The hope of Israel is the king from the line of David who would take his seat on the throne and reign in God's power. That's what Israel was looking forward to. That's what they longed for. That was their desire. That was their hope. And now Paul tells them that this hope is Jesus Christ. We know he tells them this because in verse 22, when they ask Paul to share more, they refer to it as a sect. That is the Christians, those who follow the way, the Christ as the Messiah, this one called Jesus. And they say everywhere it's spoken against. But Paul, you say this is the hope of Israel. So on an appointed day, Paul speaks to them concerning the things of Jesus Christ. And he testifies to them about what the Scriptures say. Paul shows them, if you look at verse 23, Paul shows them that this Jesus is the one spoken of in the Law and the Prophets. He's the promised one who brings life. He's the one through whom there is redemption. He is the great servant and yet the suffering servant of God. He is the King of glory, the one who takes his seat on the throne of David. He's the one who brings restoration. He's the one who will usher in this new kingdom. He's the one in whom there is eternal salvation. And Paul says, you will find the hope of Israel in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Here in Rome, Rome remembers the epicenter of the world. Here in Rome, Jesus Christ is declared as the only way, the only truth, the only life. This is the only hope for a dying people in a dying world. This is the hope that the gospel brings, a hope of salvation, that hope of forgiveness of sins, that hope of restoration, eternal life, an eternal kingdom with a king ruling and reigning. This is the truth that the world continually needs to hear. It's the good news. As we go out, we are saying to people, there is only life in Jesus Christ. Because outside of Christ, you're guilty before a holy God. Our sin condemns us. Our rebellious nature condemns us. We stand before God and eternity with nothing to offer but our guilt and our shame, and they must be punished by a God who is righteous and holy. But yet there's one who fills the gap. There's one who takes our place, Jesus Christ. And in shedding his blood on the cross, in dying there, he took the place of his people. And this Jesus Christ is the one who rose from the dead, who defeated sin and death. The innocent one, who was the perfect sacrificial substitute, he rose again to show that the whole punishment for sin is complete in him. And in Jesus Christ, there is no more punishment. And so he rose from the dead. Is that not a message that people need to hear? They need hope. There are people who are looking for hope, who are looking for joy, who are looking for satisfaction in all different kinds of places. They are looking and searching, but they will not find, because the hope of Israel, the hope for a dying people in a dying world, is only in Jesus Christ. In Christ we are made new. In Christ we're forgiven. In Christ we are filled with the Spirit of God to strengthen us and guide us and teach us. In Jesus Christ we are loved with a steadfast love, an eternal love that will never let us go. This is the hope of the gospel. If you're a Christian this evening, this is what you have. As you go into your place of work, as you talk to your friends at school or university, as you talk to neighbors or people out in the street, you have something that they desperately need. You have a sure and certain hope. You're inheritors of an eternal kingdom. The hope of the gospel. But then secondly, we have here the extent of the gospel. The extent of the gospel. Who is this message for? This hope of Israel for why Paul's in chains. Who is it for? Well, it's firstly for the Jews. Paul is happy to call the Jews together. Even though he suffered at the hands of the Jews, he still has a heart for the nation that he was born into. And so he calls them together to tell them of the hope of Israel. It's firstly for the Jews, not in order of greatness, but in priority. The covenant promise was given firstly to Abraham, for him and his descendants. And these physical descendants are the Jews. This was the good news, Paul is saying, that you have already received, but yet many rejected. But God in His grace extended this covenant out to foreigners and strangers. And many were brought into the family of faith. There was the likes of Rahab, who helped the spies. There was Ruth, the Moabitess. And so in the Old Testament, we have hints to what God will be doing. And then Jesus also commanded His disciples, the apostles, to go into all the world. First for the Jews, but also for the Gentile. And the plan was always to include the nations. The plan was always to extend the hope of Israel out to all corners of the world. And this was Paul's calling, to go to them. The message is for them. And in the New Testament, we see a wider and a greater extent of this gospel advance. We see it in so much richer numbers than what we see in the Old Testament. And the door opens up for the Gentiles. And so this is a message, yes, first for the Jew, but then for the Gentile, because this is a message for all. That's what Paul says to the Jews here in Rome. Look at verses 26 to 28. Go to this people, that is the Jews. But then we see that many reject. They have eyes that don't see, ears that don't hear, hearts that don't understand. They rejected this wonderful hope. Not all rejected. Some believed. And some believed Paul. But then if you look in verse 28, Paul says, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. This message is for you. This is good news for us. It was this message for the Jews in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Going back to the beginning of Acts, it was a message for them, for those Jews from all different nations. And there Peter stood up and he preached Jesus Christ, the hope of Israel, and many came to faith. It was a message for Paul the persecutor, a Jew who needed to hear the gospel. It was a message for the Ethiopian eunuch. It was a message for Cornelius, the Roman centurion from the Italian cohort. It was a message for Lydia out there in the riverbank. It was a message for the slave girl in the city of Philippi. And then it was a message for the jailer in that same city. It was a message for prisoners, for the sick, for the blind, for the lame. It was a message for the rich and the powerful. It was a message for everyday people. It was a message that needed to be presented to Felix and Festus and Agrippa. It's a message that spread throughout the whole palace guard in Rome as Paul was chained to a soldier every hour of every day. It was a message that spread throughout the whole of Caesar's household. This message is for all to hear. All types of people. And there's no disqualification from hearing this message, because all need to hear it. This is a message for your next door neighbor. It's a message for your family members. It's a message for your work colleagues. It's a message for those that you sit beside at school, for those that you play with, for those that you associate with. It's a message for your friends. The extent of the gospel message, or the scope of the gospel message, is for all types of people. Everyone needs to hear it. You're not excluded from hearing this message of new life, forgiveness of sins. Perhaps we have to remind ourselves of that truth on occasion. We can sometimes look at people and disregard them. We can look at people and think, well, this message of Jesus Christ maybe won't suit them. Or maybe we're thinking they won't suit us. Maybe we think they won't accept it. They have too much baggage. It'll be too difficult for me to explain to them about Jesus Christ. No, this message is for them. It's for everyone to hear. The message of the hope of Israel has been sent to them, and you might be the one to bring it to them. To say to them that you know the hope of Israel. You know the good news that will bring life to them. You know the message that they need to hear above all else. The world needs to hear of Jesus Christ. They need to be made aware of the treacherous position they're in outside of Christ. They're rebelling against a holy God. They're under God's wrath and judgment. And then they need to hear that there's a wonderful forgiveness that's available in Christ Jesus. That's why this is a message for all types of people, all nationalities. It's a message for all persuasions, all colors, all orientations. It's a message for people caught up in all different types of sin. Everyone needs to hear of the restoration work of Jesus Christ, this hope of the gospel. This is a message for you, the extent of the gospel. The hope of the gospel, the extent of the gospel. And then thirdly, the proclamation of the gospel. The proclamation of the gospel. Paul here in Rome labors in preaching and proclaiming. Look at verse 23. From morning to evening, he gives time to speaking and testifying to the things of Christ Jesus. Now, it's very unlikely we'll be in Paul's position. And not everyone will be called to preach or to labor in preaching. But we are called on to speak. We are called on to be Christ's witnesses. And this will involve our time and our energy. And so, like Paul, it may not be morning and evening and all day affair, but give yourself to being a witness. Be prepared to give reason for the hope that is in you in Jesus Christ. Consider what you might say to your friend tomorrow. Consider the topics of conversation that might come up. Be ready and prepared. Give ourselves. As Paul labored in preaching and proclaiming, we are to be laboring in witnessing. God has given us all a certain amount of time. God has given us a certain amount of abilities. And so use those that we might speak of Jesus Christ to someone who desperately needs to hear that message. Paul labored from morning to evening. We must be ready to give ourselves in proclaiming Christ. And then again in verse 23, We see Paul tried to convince them about Jesus, both from both the law and the prophets. That is, Paul used the word of God to persuade them. Salvation is from God. It's his work. Paul here isn't relying on his gifts and abilities to convince people of the truth of Christ. But this trying to convince, it's the presentation of the gospel in earnestness, with urgency. It's giving clear, logical thinking, pointing people to the truth of Scripture and saying, look, here is the truth. Here is what this means. Let me tell you. And then being earnest and urgent with them, you need this message. You need to hear this because of the brevity of life. You need to hear this because of the seriousness. You need to know who Jesus Christ is. That's Paul's trying to convince. Pointing people to Scripture and being earnest and urgent with them. When we speak, we're to strive to be logical and clear, but also to be urgent and earnest. We all have different gifts and abilities, but we all should be able to set out the truth of the gospel clearly. We should all be able to show someone from the Bible what God has said. And we can all be honest and earnest and urgent with people. We desire that the person that we're speaking to will come to know Christ. And we want to show that in how we present the truth. Paul gives himself to witnessing. Paul does so in trying to convince and being earnest and pointing people to Scripture. But then also Paul preaches with boldness, verse 31, with all boldness. That is, with all courage, with all faith, confident that this Jesus Christ is the Christ who saves. Paul preached without fear of man or fear of the consequences. What can man do to me? We have a glorious gospel. We have the good news. We have the hope of Israel. It's the truth of salvation. And this Jesus Christ, the eternal King that we're setting before the world, means that we can speak to people without fear. We can speak to them without fear of the consequences. We can speak with boldness, faith and trust in Jesus Christ, with courage, because he strengthens us. Because we know that this is the truth. Paul preached or witnessed, he proclaimed about Jesus Christ with boldness. And then we see at the very end that the gospel of Jesus Christ went out without hindrance. Paul, remember, is in chains, but the gospel isn't chained. It had free course. The gospel was let loose. And this is where Luke finishes his account for Theophilus. This is where Acts finishes with this climax. The gospel advances without obstacle. And this should encourage us in our witnessing. It should give us confidence in our witnessing. There are no chains on the gospel. We might be chained. We might struggle. We might feel weak and incapacitated. We might have difficulties. We maybe think, I'm not gifted. I have my limitations. Paul was in chains. Paul had a Roman soldier attached to him 24/7. And yet, What are we told in the book of Acts? Although Paul is chained, the gospel isn't chained. Without hindrance, the gates of hell will not prevail against the truth. The gospel will go forward. Perhaps at times we are too timid, too afraid, or too unsure. But it's God who overrules in the hearts and the minds of men. It's God who gives us freedom to speak. Yes, some will reject the truth. We've seen that throughout Acts. We see it here even with some of these Jews. Like the Jews who listened to Paul, they seemed keen to learn, but then went away unchanged. But some do believe. God says through Paul, the Gentiles, they will listen. There will be some who will listen. There will be some who will enter eternal life. And God, in his sovereignty, advances his kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This unchained gospel will advance and move forward. And we can be part of that wonderful witness of Jesus Christ. And friends, Acts finishes with this climax to spur us on in our witnessing and to encourage us and give us confidence that this message that we have cannot be chained or stopped by the world. Yes, they will throw obstacles down. They will try to silence us, but the gospel will not be hindered. And so be witnesses for Christ without fear. Be witnesses for Christ with boldness and confidence. Be witnesses for Christ and pray that the good news will move forward unhindered in our nation, in our community, in your family, in the place where you work or study. The gospel is let loose. And Jesus Christ says to us, you will be my witnesses. You will testify about me. So let us go and proclaim the hope of the gospel. Let us do so in love for the lost, desiring that all will come to know of Jesus Christ, and praying that God will work in his grace. Amen.